A New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. Allow me to read the text starting with the 25th verse and just ending with the 32nd. Paul is writing, saying, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will rise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I wonder what my sermon would be like if I knew that this would be my last opportunity to speak with you. That's kind of the issue that the apostle was dealing with. He had one last time with the Ephesian elders, and after that, they weren't going to see him again, nor was he going to see them. So he had a special message for them. Now, Paul was eager to get to Jerusalem, and he was on his way, and he made several stops as he sailed on a fast sailing ship out of Troas, but didn't stop at Ephesus. And so he made arrangements to see them in a special manner. He had what I've called a kind of a sacred baton to pass on to them. He had given his heart to the ministry that had been his, and he was now passing it on for the ministry that was to take place after him. And the challenge he gives to them is a challenge that really comes to us as well through the scriptures, to carry on the ministry that had been started before us. And that's what these scriptures challenge us to. And the first part of that challenge is simply, in my words, to take on the task that God has given us as overseers, shepherds, as people who were to care for one another in the way that they had been cared for before. We're responsible for the spiritual welfare of each other. That's the message that the Apostle Paul gives to the Ephesian elders. And that's the message that God passes on to us. In another place in the scripture, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthian people and is saying to them a similar kind of lesson. And he is talking about himself. And he's saying to the Corinthian Christians, "Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel." He is saying to the people, there may have been a number of people who had kind of watched over you in a variety of ways and in a variety of categories, but I have become, by God's call, your spiritual parent. And I take that responsibility seriously. So whether the scripture calls us overseers or shepherds or spiritual parents, we're supposed to care for one another in the way that Christ would want us to. I remember a time when I was asked to speak at a conference, and it came in conflict with an activity of one of my sons. I sensed it was important to him, but so was the conference. In one of my rare smart moments, I decided that they could always get a substitute speaker at a conference, but there was no substitute for Dad. So I needed to go where my son was. I would hope that I would always be that wise, but I don't know that I always am. There's no substitute for Dad. There's no substitute for Mom. And sometimes, even more important than the bloodline parents we have, the connections or disconnect we have with them, our spiritual parents are even more important. There are those who come into our life and care for us, not being a part of our bloodline, well, being a part of our spiritual bloodline. They take responsibility for one another. My bloodline father, as I think I've shared with you, left our family when I was just a few weeks old. Never saw him until my 40s and reconnected. In the meantime, my mother remarried, so I had a stepdad. He was there every day, morning and night, worked hard as an immigrant and a father trying to establish our family in a new land here in the U.S. When I had a chance to meet my real father, my bloodline father, I wondered what my stepdad would feel about that as I went off to meet my father in Helsinki and did meet him and started a relationship that was meaningful. But I felt it very important, maybe if only for my own heart, to sit down with my dad, my stepdad, when I came back and say to him, you know, I met my father. And it was a good experience. I trust we'll have time together in the years to come. But know this, you will always be my dad. My bloodline father will never replace you. You have been my dad, you'll be my dad. You are my dad. I don't know what the configuration is like in your life, but for us, we need to, whether we are connected by blood or not, to care for one another with some spiritual responsibility. The church cared for me in terms of spirituality. My family wasn't particularly a church-going family. I got involved by invitation, and what my parents couldn't provide for me spiritually, the church provided for me spiritually. My Sunday school teacher became like a spiritual parent to me. He led me into my first steps of faith. He watched over me over the years. He even surprisingly mentioned me in a letter he wrote that he wanted read at his memorial service, saying that one of the blessings that he had in his life was to care for Jack Lew a little bit, who became a pastor. We need to care for each other. And sometimes the people who seem immediate in our lives aren't the ones that do the best job. So we've got this family here, this eternal family that has some responsibility. So as Paul was saying that kind of thing to the Ephesians, the scriptures are saying that to us. I don't think I can get by without at least mentioning the fact that, in case you haven't noticed, I've been away for a couple of weeks. And the experience was being prayed for by many of you. And it was a special time. good time with pastors and a good time of preaching at churches. But along with that, each time I go back to Estonia, I always have one Sunday where I invite whatever relatives are around in Estonia to come. Come to the church with the promise that if they come to the worship service at which I preach, I will buy them lunch. It's amazing what that extra motivation does to attendance. And so 9 or 10 of them were there, a couple of relatives that I don't even believe were relatives. They just kind of sneaked in with the cousins I had over there. And we all went to lunch. And I always enjoy maintaining that contact with those relatives, close or distant. They haven't invited me to be this in their lives, but I feel like a spiritual parent to them. And it's not because they're spiritual, because I don't think they ever go to church unless someone promises them lunch. And so that happens about once or twice a year when I make my trips to Estonia. But I still feel the accountability to them to be as much a reflection of God's love and God's truth as I can. I never get pushy over a meal to make and listen to another sermon. I just want to be with them and just to watch over them a bit as I can. Whatever form it takes, you have influence over people in your life, people who are close to you. And whether you have an overt responsibility to really articulate what you believe and what you hope they might believe in terms of putting their faith in God, your presence as a spiritual influence is vital. That's what God is calling you to do, just in your world, to be God's light to the people around you, and to take it on as a responsibility. We're called to be shepherds, overseers, spiritual parents. We're just to trust some people around us to God's special care. So we take on that task, as the Bible tells us to. And the second lesson I've just entitled for myself in my notes, that we're also to take on the tears of being that kind of person in people's lives. Well, I use that word because it was here in Scripture. We had the written word here saying, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. For 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." With tears. That's in the 31st verse. We can't get through life without encountering trouble. The Apostle Paul is warning the Ephesians, be on your guard. There are going to be people outside of the church and inside of the church that are going to try to undermine what you do in my name. So be on your guard. And in a sense, gives himself as an example of teaching and guiding. But he adds those two words at the end of that one statement. But I faithfully have done that, but have done it with tears. I have not backed off of the time when you have felt trouble or have experienced trouble. When you have maybe even cried your way through situations that were overwhelming. I cried with you. I hung with you. I didn't come to yell at you, to condemn you, to bully you in religion or faith. I came to be your compassionate caretaker or caregiver in a spiritual sense. And when you hurt, I hurt. And when you cried, I cried. I didn't need to give speeches on those occasions. I just needed to connect with all of your feelings and give them respect and give them my heart. Our friends, our family, they come across trouble. So do we. Christianity doesn't guarantee some kind of a smooth ride, that once we put our faith in God, everything's going to be okay. God is going to protect us from all of the evil in the world. No, the evil in the world is still going to stay there. The weaknesses of our bodies are still going to be there to be a challenge. What God gives us is Himself, and He gives us each other so we can be a comfort and a strength, and we can stand with each other in times of trouble and in times of hurt. There's a little story I heard a number of years ago about a little girl who was a neighbor to her dear friend, whose mother was terribly ill. And her friend was afraid, just scared of what might happen. And so this little girl went next door. And when she came back, her mother asked her where she'd been. She said, "Well, I've been with my friend." And her mother said, "Well, I know you can't do much. It's a sad thing. What did you do?" And she said, "I went so that I could help her cry." I love that phrase. To help our friends cry. I remember when my mom died. Christmas Eve. At one level, lousy timing. At another level, I could imagine her celebrating the birth of Christ with Christ the next day. It really shook up my dad, my stepdad. Excuse me. He depended on her. Not only did he love her, but he really depended upon her. If I were to make a judgment regarding their relationship, I would say that she was a strong one in that relationship. And now all of a sudden, he lost a whole chunk of his strength. When I got the call that she had had a heart attack, and I got in the first plane I could to Northern California, said to my church staff that I wouldn't be there for the Christmas Eve service, flew into Sacramento and got a ride to Turlock, California. My mother never regained consciousness, so my dad was just devastated. By then, he was a man of faith, but new in his faith. And I still remember the almost accusatory look he gave me as he said, "You're a pastor. You tell me why God did this to me. You tell me why God did this." You know, there aren't many satisfactory answers at a time like that. Our brain isn't wanting to be engaged. Our heart is hurt. So just thinking about the little girl who said, "I wanted to help my friend cry." That was about all I did through that night, was help my dad cry. Okay, we're a spiritual family. Now and then, we need to help each other cry. Sometimes that presence is the most powerful thing that we can do, powerful than any articulate speeches we might make. It is our calling. It was just important to be there with my dad. That presence has power. The last couple of weeks when I was away, I was ministering in Estonia, you know that. I helped lead a pastor's conference of Estonian pastors. I taught 2 weekends in Estonian churches. It is nice to hear the English language again. But one of the comments of one of the pastors, I'll carry around with me a bit. And they were very gracious in terms of my speaking and preaching and teaching. But he said, You know what so many of us value? Is that you keep coming back here year after year, a couple times a year, and just being with us. You're just here with us. It had nothing to do with the quality of my messages. It had everything to do with my traveling 6,000 miles, I think, to be with them, to feel what they feel, to politically deal with the fact that Russia is just across the border and they make all kinds of noise every once in a while and wonder if they're ever going to be occupied again, and to deal with the reemergence of a small country who's trying to figure out what to be and how to be economically and how to care for their families, to deal with broken families, many of them broken up by alcoholism, and just to be with them. No easy answers except to hold on to God together and now and then to cry together. Well, that's our calling too. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders, I've started a ministry here. You keep it up. You're responsible for that. You're to carry on the carrying of each other's burdens. In his writing to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul said, bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He gets pretty strong with the Galatians. This is not just a suggestion, a nice idea. It's a command. It's the law of Christ. And I don't know if that we are truly brothers and sisters in Christ until we have carried each other's problems, until we have helped each other with the weight of the problems we face, until we have helped each other cry. So that's God's call. Whatever your bloodline family is, we're his spiritual family. Let's be responsible to be spiritual parents and spiritual brothers and sisters to each other and care for each other. That's our strength, because that's the strength that God gives us. Holy Father, may it be so in our lives, and to the extent that it does not, help us. And however close we are to one another, make us closer. However we help each other, and I know this family does, teach us even more wisely how to continue to help. Help us not to worry so much about speeches we might make or words that might comfort, as much as just being close by. Feeling the feelings of someone else, carrying the hurts of someone else, now and then doing that with tears. So by your strength, we say yes to taking on this task of ministry, to do so with our energy and our heart, and in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.